Are there times when you feel like you're more of a hindrance than a help? I know I used to feel that way when I worked on cars with my father as a teenager. You know, there are times when you might just feel that way, more of a hindrance than a help, when it might just be better off if you took your hand off the wheel, your thumbs off the keyboard, your wisdom off the table. I think Peter got to that point in the story in the book of Acts, in one of the most important decisions that the early church ever faced regarding its mission. Peter got to the point where he simply thought to get out of the way, not to hinder God, but to let God do God's thing among the people. And fortunately, others followed Peter's lead. As he reflected on his experience of how the Holy Spirit came on those gathered at Cornelius's place, just like he had experienced it when the Holy Spirit came upon him and his fellow disciples, he says these words: "If then God gave them," the Gentile believers, "the same gift," the Holy Spirit, "that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" Peter wasn't always at that place as a Jewish follower of Jesus and the leader of the Christian movement in Jerusalem, but he did get to that point. And the story of how he got to that point, where he believed that the Jewish Christians should not stand in the way of what God was doing with non-Jewish people, was so important to the church that it gets told twice in the book of Acts. In chapter 10, if you read chapter 10 in your Bible, and then you read chapter 11, you may think that you're seeing double, because that story gets retold. Chapter 10 and chapter 11, the story of Cornelius having this angel messenger tell him about Peter, complete with the AD 50 equivalent of a Rand McNally roadmap to Joppa so that they can go. His three messengers go and meet Peter. Remember, the three comes up in this story a lot. Three messengers go to Peter. Three times a sheet gets lowered. It's all to confirm what God is doing among the people. And it gets told twice so that people will get it into their heads that God is doing a new thing in the church. And the most that they could do was to get behind it and to put their energy into telling the stories of how God is speaking to people of every nation and tongue and tribe. And the least they could do is get out of the way and not hinder what God is accomplishing in their midst. It took Peter a while to get on board. Even though he had this vision, and even though God said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat what is on this sheet that I've lowered before you," Peter essentially said to him, "Heck no, Lord. Won't do it." Wait a minute. Isn't this his Lord he's talking to? But he had understood from the scriptures and from the commentary on the scriptures that you are not to eat unclean things. God says, "What I've declared clean, how dare you profane it? Don't turn your nose up, Peter, because I've declared it clean." And he wasn't just talking about animals. He wasn't just talking about what you eat. He's talking about people. "Peter, I've made other people clean besides just you circumcised Jews." And that he was calling Peter to get behind. You see, the scripture said clearly what you're supposed to eat and what you're not supposed to eat. The commentary on the scriptures clearly said whom you are to have table fellowship with and how and who not. Right down to this key issue, whether or not Gentiles should be circumcised, as in become Jewish, before they become Christian. The scriptures made it clear Jewish boys were to be circumcised so as to distinguish them as the children of God. But here is God seeming to go against the scriptures. Here is God making his spirit fall fresh on people of every nation. Men who've never been circumcised and women filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter has all his life played by the rules. And here is God telling Peter, Cornelius, this Italian uncircumcised soldier, is every bit as much my child as you are. Peter, I am hearing the prayers of Cornelius just like I'm hearing your prayers. Peter, I'm speaking in visions and dreams and through messengers to Cornelius just like I'm speaking to you in visions. So Peter began to come around and to understand that God was doing a new thing. God was creating a new heaven and a new earth right here. And it was in his telling the story that this began to unfold. The people were very ticked off at Peter, right? It says they were highly critical that he was sharing table fellowship with non-Jewish people. But he didn't care to argue with them. He didn't care to debate every point. He simply told them the story of how he experienced God working and how he was making sense of it. I wonder if there's a story or two in your own life where you've seen God working, where you have had your eyes opened up, where God has awakened you to smell what's coming from Grace's kitchen. Have you had those kind of stories in your own life? Those are the kinds of stories God wants us to tell. God wants us to share. Those are the kind of stories that feed us when we remember them, when our spiritual bucket's feeling kind of empty. And those are what other people may need to hear to feel that God is certainly working in them too. You know, the gospel today shines light on Jesus' words to his disciples, love one another. It's not a new commandment. It was around for the ages. But what was new about it is Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that kind of love is a love that stretches our understanding. Who is lovable? It's not just a nostalgic kind of love. It's not just an inside scoop kind of love that we share just with each other. It's an ever-expanding love. This is the love Jesus is commanding them to have. A love that gathered them in as nobody fishermen. A love that taught them that love goes further and stretches you beyond you ever thought what it could. Stretches to thousands with just scraps of fish and bread. Stretches people who seek you out in the secrecy of night. A love that stretches to embrace the Judas who dips his hand in your dish. A love that stretches to include prostitutes and Johns and addicts and even the people who are on the other side of the abortion fence than you. Love one another, he says to his followers. He says to us. That is a challenge. It is like pinning a tail on an ever-moving donkey because he keeps expanding the boundaries of who the one another's are that we are to love. He keeps stretching us to see who all is lovable. Who all is welcome at the table. Until there's nobody left to hate, nobody left to exclude. Love one another, Jesus says, because that will be part and parcel of this new heaven and new earth that he is creating among us even now. Love one another. It's the hardest mission we will ever encounter. So perhaps we might get behind Peter and say, who am I that I should hinder them? Who am I that I should not welcome them when it's clear that Jesus is? Come to the feast that the Lord has prepared. Bask in the love of God that stretches to include even you, even me, and even those that we up to this very moment consider to be unclean.